ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यामि मा पुष्पितां वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यपि पश्चितः वेदवादरताः पार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः कामात्मानः स्वर्गपरा जन्मकर्मफलप्रदाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिम् प्रति। Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various spiritual activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification in opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. We have seen in all the previous lectures, the essence of all our lectures is one thing, very simple thing, straightforward thing, that the soul, Atma, about whom we have been discussing in so many classes, he is the eternal servant of God. But somehow or other, he has come into this world, and this world is a place of birth and death. Right from the topmost living being like Brahma, who has four heads, and who is the most intelligent being in the whole creation, down to the tiniest insect, like a small plant, small insect. All the living beings in this creation, all of them, they all are carrying their own load of karma, karma bandhan. They all are carrying the karma on their back. And everyone in this world is suffering. So there is birth, there is old age, there is disease, and there is death. We have been discussing it in the previous classes also. This is going on and on like that. So what is the ultimate goal of life? Because today's lecture can be well understood only if you know the ultimate goal of life. Who can say what's the ultimate goal of life?
Moksha.
Of course, you can become one with God by making your consciousness and your quality one with God. Just like, for example, all of us assembled here, we are, say, Indians. Everyone is an Indian. So we all are one in our spirit, isn't it? Like you all wanted India to win, isn't it, in the match recently? Is there anyone here who wanted India to lose? Yes, raise your hand. Is there anyone here? That means we are all one in spirit. We are one in spirit that we all want India to win. Similarly, we can become one with God in spirit, in consciousness. But we don't become God. We explained about it before also. We can be one with God only in consciousness. Not that we become God ourselves. We are tiny living beings. So we gave the example, if you remember, just like you take a little gold from the gold mine, and you make some ornament to wear in the ear. That's a small amount of gold. But the gold mine has a huge quantity of gold. So, in the same way, God's powers and our powers cannot be compared. God has infinite powers. And we have infinitesimal, minute amount of power. Just like Vajpayee. See, Vajpayee, Prime Minister of India, and ourselves, we all look alike, when you see. But the powers that are vested on him and that the powers that we have are very limited, isn't it? So, the ultimate goal of life, somebody said, is moksha, somebody was telling. Of course, you want moksha from pains and sufferings, from birth and death and everything. But where do we go beyond moksha? I mean, when you go out of this world, where do we go? What did we say? In our, who remember? Yeah. You go to the Lord's place, which is our original home. That place called as Vaikuntha. This place is called as Kuntha. That place is called as Vaikuntha. Kuntha means place of anxiety, suffering. Vaikuntha means place of no anxiety, place of no suffering. So we all certainly want to become free from suffering. But then, as long as we are in this world, there are a lot of sufferings and a lot of pains on an everyday basis, you can see. So many troubles come. So we all want to go to that permanent place where there will be no suffering. But here Krishna is explaining another concept here. Yami vam pushpitam vacham pravadantya abhipaschitah. He is talking about people who are followers of the Vedas. Vedic followers, those who read Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, people and who recite those mantras. And they perform yajna, they perform dana, they perform tapas. So yajna, dana, tapas means, yajna means sacrifice. Dana means charity, giving charity. And tapa means austerity. So, yajna, how is the yajna performed? You all have seen yajna, how they perform. They have a havan, and they put some ghee in that, sometimes they put silk in that, sometimes they put some rice, grains in that. So you may be wondering, what are they doing? Why are they putting all this? Especially in the modern times, children rarely get to see this kind of yajna. Even if they see, they may wonder, what happens when you put all these things in the fire? In fact, some people think, why are we wasting all these things by putting them in fire? Because they don't know the concept of yajna. In yajna, what happens? That's a chant which they chant. Indraya swaha idam namama. That is the chant. So they chant that this I am offering to Indra, it is not mine. Idam namama means it's not mine. Similarly, they offer Varunaya swaha, Chandraya swaha. In this way, they go on offering to Agni, to Indra, to Chandra, Varuna, all the devatas they offer like that. So by offering it, what happens? Shastras explain that the fire is called as the mouth of Vishnu. So when you put these things in the fire, then it is transferred, the fruits of the sacrifice are transferred to those particular devatas, like Agni, to Indra, Chandra, Varuna, to the respective devatas. Just like you send money order in the nearby post office, and that may go to Delhi, to somebody. Isn't it? Or like, you have nowadays they have electronic transfer. From here you can directly send money to America. Just pin code and suddenly it directly goes, password, isn't it? Similarly, what you put in the fire, the Shastra says, that this actually is transferred to the particular devatas. And human beings can do so many things, why can't the devatas do like that? Now some people even wonder whether at all devatas exist. Or is it just some imagination of a fertile brain? Many people wonder like that. Why we think like that? The modern civilization makes man think that everything is in my fingertips. Like you want to switch on a TV, you have a remote control for that. You want to switch on a fan, you have a remote control for that. For anything you want to do, nowadays there is remote control. You have mobile in hand. So because of controlling all the things around us, we start tending to think that everything is under the grip of my hands. Because of which we think man knows everything. You all have seen Discovery Channel? If you see Discovery Channel, it makes you think that practically man knows everything in the universe, isn't it? But the reality is, man does not even know this one small globe which is Earth. What to speak of other planets? There are so many other planets in this creation. Man does not even know about the Earth completely. Man has only scratched a small portion of the Earth. How much do we know about Arctica, Antarctica? How much do we know even about the other lands? America was not known a few hundred years ago, isn't it? America, Africa, Australia. How many years ago did man come to know? See, this universe has been there since time immemorial. Thousands of millions of years it has been there. But America was known when? How many hundred years ago? Almost, not even 90, less than that. Almost 400, I think. 400 years ago, very, very few hundred years ago. When? 300, 400 years ago. Yeah. So, such a big country like America was known to man only so recently. What I'm trying to say is this, even this one small earth globe, we don't know completely. But the modern electronic gadgets and facilities make us think that we know a lot. We know practically everything. Like, you know, you have a microscope and you look at bacteria or virus or something like that. And you think, oh, I can look even things which cannot be seen with the naked eye. I can see with a microscope. But then we are under the microscope of God. He is watching us. Every one of the activities. There are superior beings in this creation. Like how? Prabhupada is asking a very simple question. Like in the ocean, you see there is water, there is air. But you find the air is pushing the water and making the waves to be created, isn't it? So, both are material things, isn't it? Water is material, air is material. And how is it that the air is able to push the water and create that kind of waves and tides, huge tides? How is it creating? Similarly, if you see the rains, the sun evaporates the water and then it turns into cloud, you know, and the cloud travels long distance. Like now, if you see the monsoons will come in June, you know where the clouds from, where they originate, where they travel, do you know? They travel thousands of miles, they travel like that. And then the conditions are altered so that it can rain down. So when we see such things, we know the mechanism, how they work. In our college laboratory, we had to simulate the rain, in our laboratory, we were doing that. It's called as acid bath, they call it. So you make a gas and then the gas has to be turned into liquid again. So in order to do that, the conditions are so precise. You have to have a meter to control the temperature and you have to have another device to control the pressure and you have to have a device to control the volume. So it's very, very difficult. At last, even after doing all this, still the arrangements cannot be made properly. Now, assuming that this whole globe is like a, not globe, I mean, the whole universe is like a laboratory setup. So how can the rains take place? Can they happen automatically? Can they happen automatically? So it's not an easy setup. In at Madras, they don't get rains normally. So man wanted to create artificial rains. So, you know what the artificial rain? Scientists use many bombastic terms, which appear that they are doing something miraculous. Anybody knows what's artificial rain? Artificial rain is nothing but what they call as artificial rain is this. Using some devices, they will blow the clouds and bring them to the particular desired spot, and then you put some silver cyanide and then it will pour down. So this is called as artificial rain, as if you are creating rain. So the clouds are already created by God, by the evaporation of water, by the sun, and then the clouds are created. Now, the clouds are now in the outskirts of the city and it is not pouring in the city. So in order to do that, what do? You blow using some devices by which you can bring. So Madras, they tried that. They blowed the cloud and they brought it up and then they put silver cyanide. So they were thinking, now we are going to have rains after so many years now. But then the cloud, without their control, it started very swiftly drifting towards the other end. And it poured down in the outskirts there. So man has no control over the powers of nature. So in this way, there are many miraculous things happening. How the huge quantities of water controlled? How the huge quantities of air controlled? How the heat, the entropy of the universe is kept in order? So these things are all done by Indra, Chandra, Varuna and great personalities like that. Like India, what do you think of India? Just like Maharashtra, small place. In order to have some control of water for Maharashtra, do we have this thing? Water society, what do you call that? Like we have MSCB, isn't it? Like we have MSCB which controls the electricity. Similarly, we have water society called PWD, you call it, isn't it? PWD. Even for a small place like Maharashtra. What do you think of India? And what do you think of the whole earth? What do you think of the universe? So it is ridiculous to imagine that all these things are happening by chance. Why we think these things are happening by chance? It is only because of the kind of upbringing that we have had in our school days, that we tend to think that everything will happen automatically. How the apple is coming, it will come automatically. How everything is happening automatically, these are people tend to think like that. So Shastras explain that there are beings, celestial beings, who are beyond human beings. Human being is not the ultimate living being, as human beings often think, like that. So it's a misnomer to think that human being is the ultimate being. There are many other beings. So, what is this concept of yajna which you are talking now? Yajna is, civilized human being realizes that I am taking so many things from the nature. I am taking grains, I am taking fruits, I am taking pearls and jewels from the ocean, I am taking gold and silver from the ground, from the earth. All the metals we have taken from the earth only. So I am taking all these things and I am using them for my own service. But these things are not created by me. They all are created by God. So I have to give it back to God first. So even when we take a dip in the Ganges, now we take Ganges water and we offer it back to Ganges. You have seen that? People do that? Take from Ganges. Tera tujhko arpan. Kala ge mera. We say, so I offer it back to you. Similarly, the concept of yajna also, when they offer these things, like the grains or the silk or the fruits and other things that are offered in the fast sacrifice, they are meant for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, ultimately. But then there are many other devatas, superior beings, who are also recipients of this kind of yajna. So the Shastras explain that all these devatas, they all are capable of providing us many, many facilities, many different facilities. There are many different types of puja performed for different devatas, like Japa Ganapati Stotram, Shadbir Masam Phalam Rubeta. 6 months you chant this particular mantra for Ganesh, then you will get this fruit very easily. So the Vedas say like that. And you worship Durga in this particular manner. For so many days you have to do upavas. Every Friday you keep upavas for 1 year or so, and then you can get this. So you want Putra Bhagyam, then you do this yajna. You want Dhana Bhagyam, you do this particular yajna. You want a house, you want this kind of thing, that kind of thing. There are so many different types of yajnas that are performed like that for achieving these ends. And people will perform them very faithfully. And people also get the result by that. But not only one can get these benefits by performing these yajnas. In fact, the Vedas say that besides these benefits that you are getting now, you can also perform yajna by which you can be elevated to higher planets, where one can live for much longer period of time. Here, how long can we live? Here you can live 100 years. Even if you get benefits, they will all be exhausted very soon. So Vedas say that you perform this kind of yajna, you can go to even heaven. And you can live for a long time. Like we chant in the Gayatri, Om Bhuhu, Bhuha, Swaha. We chant. These are all actually the different higher planetary systems. Om Bhuhu, Om Bhuha, Swaha. And then Maha, Jana, Tapaha. And then Satya, that's the highest planet. So there are 7 planetary systems. In one of the classes we were discussing about the 14 planetary systems. 7 above and there are 6 below. Atala, Satala, Mahatala, Talatala, Satala, and the last one is called as Patala. So people generally know about Patala very much. They don't know the others. So these are the lower planetary systems. So often heaven and hell are thought of by the modern man to be some phantasmagoria, some imagination. Often modern man many times says that all these things are actually said to instill some kind of faith in people for the welfare of society. You know, if people have some faith in heaven and hell, maybe, you know, people will not do bad things and due to the fear of going to hell. That's why these things are said like that. So if you ask a modern man, so what is the proof that hell is not there or heaven is not there? So what is this proof? He cannot see his own eyelids, but he has some faith that there is no heaven and hell. This is his condition. He cannot know what is happening in the neighborhood, but he has faith that there is nothing. So this is the plight of the modern society, that man, without knowing one akshara of Sanskrit, without having turned one page of the Vedas, is very confident that all these things are bogus. That kind of the modern way of living teaches us how to become ignoramus, a thorough ignoramus, without turning one page of the Vedas. So heaven and hell exist, and a sample of that could be seen even in front of our eyes. You go to countries like America, for example, or even in India, you go to houses where people live lavish lives. They have such a foam beds, they have such wash basins and gold-plated wash basins. You have seen that? There are people having lavish facilities like that. Some people have homes with 80 rooms or 100 rooms and huge halls. Even in Pune, you go to Koragam Park side, you sometimes find places like that, isn't it? On the other hand, you find people living in a slum, a house that is made up of broken down tin sheets. They have made a house out of that. And see the living condition there, how they live. So in this way, we see human beings, I'm not talking of dogs and cats, I'm talking of human beings who live in such lowly conditions and such affluent conditions. Even in this earth, you can see people living in different statuses of life. If this could exist in front of our eyes, why can't it exist in a different dimension, in a higher dimension? So the Vedas talk about heaven. Bhuloka, bhuloka, saloka, mahaloka, janaloka, tapaloka, satyaloka. And they talk of hell also. And depending on the actions that we perform, karma, what we perform. We can perform karma or we can perform vikarma. Karma means acting according to the scriptural injunctions. Do what is right and avoid what is wrong. That is proper karma. And vikarma means acting whimsically without any reference to God or scriptures. Just do it. This is a modern slogan, isn't it? Just do it. Do whatever comes to mind. Just act with your instinct. Don't care about the world. Don't care about God. Don't think about it too much, because if you think too much about it, you will feel guilty. Better don't think about it. Just go ahead. So that is vikarma. Vikarma means indulging in all kinds of sinful activities. And the Vedas say, by indulging in sinful activities, one goes to hell. One is preparing to go to hell by indulging in such sinful activities. And by doing good activities, one ascends to heaven. So what is the benefit of going to heaven? Heaven is a place where one can live for a very long period. Here you can live for about 100 years. There in heaven one can live for thousands of years. See, the time is relative. 6 months of human life is equivalent to 1 day of the heavenly planet. So it's only 1 day for them. 6 months, such a long period is 1 day for them. So they live a very, very long life. We can see the relativity of time even in our own life. Like, you know, we live for say 100 years. How much, the night glowworm, you know, how long it lives? It just lives one night, isn't it? It is born in the night and it dies next day morning. Compare your own life with the life of a glowworm. How small is the life of a glowworm? Similarly, our life is so small in comparison to the life of the demigods, the devatas. Like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, they live for a very long period. And amongst all of them, the presiding one is Brahma, the first created living being. Prabhupada calls Brahma the first engineer of the universe. First person created in the nabi of Vishnu. So he lives for the longest period. He lives for a very, very long period. So we also can ascend to higher planets and live a very long life. And one can enjoy for a very long life. So there are 64 arts. Like there is drama, there is singing, there is rangoli, there is music. Like that, there are 64 arts. So heavenly planets are filled with enjoyable activities and people may enjoy for a very long period of time, like that. And then after finishing all the enjoyments, what happens to them? Kshine punye matyalokam vishanti, it is said. When punya count is over, they all come back to the same planet, earthly planet, and they are reborn again. So here we find Krishna is saying, Yamima pushpidanavakam prabhadanti avipaschitaha, he is saying. Why he is calling them as avipaschitaha? Less intelligent people. Because the Vedavadarata, those people are chanting the Vedic mantras, they deserve to be promoted to such heavenly planets where they can enjoy for a long period of time. Either they do all these yajnas for the sake of getting some quick benefits, like I want a child, I want money, I want a bountiful harvest and things like that. Or they want to go to the heavenly planets. And then again they are going to come back. So Krishna is calling them as foolish. Anybody can tell me why he calls him as foolish? No? You understood? Why he calls him as foolish? Somebody else. Who can say? Avipashchitaha. Somebody else can say? I would like to check whether I have conveyed it properly.
Again taking birth for going in the cycle of birth and death again and again.
This is the answer. Deepak given the right answer. See, heaven and hell are within the material realm only. If you actually want to know how the material realm is, just like, say you have a sack. In the sack there are crores of small mustard seeds. And if you compare one mustard seed to say one universe, one Brahmanda. Even scientists are talking about universes like that. They are talking about clusters and superclusters and several galactic clusters like that. Several universes are there. So say one universe is like, say one mustard seed. And inside that universe there are 14 planetary systems. And we are in the middle one. So now by performing all these Vedic rituals and rites, what happens to you? You are just going up and coming down. Just like a giant wheel, you know. You're going up and coming down, rotating again and again. Sometimes you go to heaven. Sometimes you come back to earth. Sometimes you go to hell due to sinful activities. Again you come back to earth. In this you are just rotating within that capsule. You are not coming out. So Lord is called as Anantakoti Brahmandanai. He is the Lord of crores of universes. So one has come out of the sack of the material universes and enter into Vaikuntha, the spiritual abode. From where one will never return to this material world. Is it clear? So that is why Krishna calls them as Avipashchitaha. In fact, the Vedas say if one performs 100 Rakshasa Yajnas, Ashwamedha Yajnas, if one performs 100 Yajnas, then he can be made into Indra in the next life. He can become Indra. Indra is actually the topmost Padavi, post amongst the devatas. Or if one performs 100 lifetimes of Swadharma Nishtha, that you follow your own, like Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya, whatever standards are to be followed, you follow, then one even becomes Brahma. But then a devotee of the Lord is never attracted by such posts and positions of becoming Indra or Brahma and things like that. Or even all the material benefits that are promised in the Vedas, that you will get this. 6 months you do this, you will get this. 1 year you do this, you will get that. We are not at all attracted to this. Why? We want to solve the most important problem of our life, which is rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again. That's why, say somebody has got a boil in the hand. It is full of pus and it is very, very painful. So what is the best solution? It is so much painful, he is not able to tolerate it. So there are many solutions to that, isn't it? Like somebody can, that they can give a blow on the boil. Maybe your brother or sister may blow it. And when they blow it, you will feel very nice. Isn't it? When they feel nice, when somebody blows on the boil, it's very nice. Or you can keep it under the water for some time when it is very much burning. Do you think these are good solutions? What do you think? Is it a good solution? Why is it not a good solution? It's a temporary solution. The real solution is that you go to your doctor, show him, and probably he may have to sever it, perform some surgical operation, remove the pus, then apply some medicine, then you get cured completely. Similarly, the problem of the soul in this world is that we all are given a free will in the spiritual world. Either to choose to love Krishna and serve him, or to choose to be independent of him and come to this material world. This material world is exactly like a jail. This material world is like a jail. Just like in Pune we have Airavada jail, isn't it? So you don't follow the laws of the Pune city, so what will they do? They will put you in Airavada jail. In Airavada jail they give you food. Don't they give food there? They give food, they give clothing, they give a special type of dress, isn't it? Some strips, I think. Similarly, the kingdom of God is a place where all the souls are happily serving him. But the moment they want to be independent of him and enjoy separate from him, then they are sent to the material world. Here also God gives us grains. Just like in a jail, you are given food. And here also they are given a dress. What is the dress God gives us? Which body? Material body, material body is the dress the soul is wearing here. And in the jail sometimes they even bring the doctors there. If some prisoner gets sick, they are given some medication also, isn't it? Similarly, in this world also you find there are some jadi bootis available by natural, some herbs and medicines available in nature. so that if the living things get sick, they can eat those medicines. Ayurvedic medicines are there. God doesn't provide them. Man doesn't create them. So God has given medication also. But the problem is, all these things are given to us under one condition. Who can say what it is? You are given food, you are given clothing, you are given your residence place, and you are also given medication. What else you want? Everything is there. But all these things are given under one condition. You compare it with the jail, then you will understand. In jail, everything is given. But what is the one condition?
We should not forget the Vedas.
We should not forget the God's laws. That's what is expected of us. That's very good. Any other point?
Obeying the laws of nature.
Okay. I think both are very close. Yeah? Anybody else? We have to stay inside the jail. We can't get out of it. Okay. Anybody else has any other answer?
We have to work for...
I think Tyagi has given the most precise answer, I think. Every answer is correct, actually. But this one is the most precise. That when you are in the jail, you are made to work very hard. Isn't it? The jail... Do you think the jail, they'll give you a full clothing shelter and tell you, now, my dear child, you go to sleep now. You can be peaceful there. Do you think they'll let you go to... If it happens, then nobody will go to company for job. Everyone will go to jail. In jail, they tell you to break stones. Or they give you something like that, hard work. They'll tell you to carry hard logs of wood. Or they will whip a person, beat a person like that. Similarly, in the material world also, God has given all these facilities under punishment. What is punishment? Like Tyagi said just now, that you have to work very hard. Without working hard, you cannot earn your livelihood. And also, there are many troubles. You don't want old age. You don't want diseases. Anybody wants diseases? Horrible. Every one of us wants to have a healthy body always. Anybody wants death? Nobody wants. So these sufferings are inflicted upon us. So one should actually understand that I have left the original kingdom of God and I am suffering here in this world repeatedly. And not only once, like Mataji was telling, not only once, repeatedly. Like now you are young and then you grow old, you get disease, you die. And the Atma leaves the body and goes next body. Again there is birth, old age, disease, death. Again you die. And again, it's like a cycle, like a chain. Keeps on going and on like that. So, the intelligent person thinks, if I worship Ganapati and my obstacles are gone, for 6 months I worship him, I get some benefit. Or if I worship a person, I get a house. Or if I worship somebody, I get a lot of wealth. I may get all these things, but these are temporary. What is the use of all this yajna, dana, tapa and all these things? See, if you give dan, it is said, even if you give dan to your semi-brahmana, somebody is a semi-brahmana, give him dan, it is said in the next life you will get double amount in return. Or if you are giving to a proper brahmana, then you will get 10 times of what you have given to the person. It will come in the next life. Similarly, if you give to a Vaishnava, to a great devotee of the Lord, then you will get 1,000,000 times in return like that. At the same time, Shastras also say that if you live a very virtuous life, then you may get bodily beauty, or you will get good education, or you will be born in a high family, royal family. So in this way, Shastras say that one gets many benefits by performing this yajna, dana, tapa, and all this. But then a devotee thinks, what is the use of having a very beautiful looking or a healthy body or a body in a rich family? Because ultimately, whatever type of body we have, that is suffering, isn't it? Like one very rich man, very, very wealthy man, he got a Mercedes Benz. But somehow when he was driving the Mercedes Benz, one of his friends happened to see him and he said, you got a new Mercedes, why are you so unhappy? Your face looks very, unhappy. He said, I'm sitting in a Mercedes, but you know, I have a severe problem in one of my teeth. He had a toothache. A very severe toothache. And his cheeks had bulged. So that was so painful. Although he was sitting in a Mercedes. But then what is the use? Because the pain was so acute. So he had to go and get it operated. Then he went to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, it's going to be very, very painful. But anyway, I have to do it. But the man said, how many days will it take? The doctor said, it will take almost 1 week. You have to regularly come for some treatment. He said, no, I have to go to America. You know, maybe I'll go to America and come. I'll finish my job and come. So he went to America, he went to Canada. But do you think the pain will go away? Ultimately, you have to get it operated, isn't it? and you have to go to the doctor. So you may be sitting in a Mercedes, you may be sitting in a big bungalow, but ultimately the pain is pain. Similarly, the soul, as long as it is going from one body to another, he is simply rotting in this material world, you know, suffering in this world. So all the things that are offered by this kind of yajna, dana, tapa and all these things, one cannot get any lasting benefit. Now, let us all focus in our own lives and see. You all ask yourself, you must have seen that in the Vedic Indian tradition, generally these things are encouraged, that you go to some holy place, and when you go to some holy place, you should, sometimes people shave off their hair. So the purpose of shaving up the head when you go to Tirupati, anybody knows? Why we shave up the hair?
Because this is the most loving.
You maintain hair to increase your beauty. So you are doing tyaga, you know. You are giving to God tyaga. You are giving the hair like that, isn't it? Or sometimes you go to a holy place, you do some upavas, isn't it? On some special days you do upavas. You know upavas? Fasting. Why do we do fasting? So we want to sacrifice food that day for the pleasure of God. And we also want to express our gratitude to God, understanding that how much we depend on Him. Like we are taking grains from nature, fruits from nature. Without that, how much we suffer one day? You can realize that. So express our gratitude to God. In this way, we, by performing yajna, dana, tapa, we actually try to remember God and sacrifice something for Him. So if you see in the Vedic tradition generally, as I told you, in yajna they put the grains, they put silk, they put ghee and all those things. These are all gross things that they put in the fire, and they are also accepted by Vishnu. Certainly Lord accepts it. Because if you see, the mantras, they always carry the bija, Hari. That's why Krishna, here he says, Yamima Pushpitam Vacha, he says. Pushpitam means flowery words of the Vedas, he is saying. So they are called as flowery words for two reasons. One reason is that they sound very nice to hear. That people get very fascinated. Hare Om Samna Mitra Shambharana Samna Bhavat Paryama Samna Indra Vrishaspati Samna Vishnara Rukkamaha Namaste Vayo Tumevam Pratyaksham Brahmasi. When you hear that, you know, very pleasing. Sometimes people just put on a cassette and go on hearing like that. So Vedic mantras are Yavima Pushpitam Vacham, he says. They are very flowery, very attractive to hear. At the same time, they also promise you many future pleasures, you know, that you will get this, you will get that. Now you may ask, if the Vedas have an ultimate purpose of sending everyone back home, back to Godhead, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, then why the Vedas are telling that you worship this God, you will get this benefit, you worship that God, you will get that benefit? Why the Vedas are giving such procedures? Why can't they directly teach people that go back home, back to Godhead?